Live from NPR News, I'm Giles Snyder. A federal judge in California has ordered the Census Bureau to stop winding down counting efforts for the 2020 census for now. NPR's Hansi Lo Wang reports a temporary court order is part of an ongoing lawsuit against the Trump administration's decision to cut census counting short.
The Census Bureau has been winding down door knocking in areas where it says counting is close to complete, but U.S. District Judge Lucy Koh in Northern California has issued a temporary restraining order that directs the Bureau to keep counting around the country. The order is expected to last until a court hearing is held on September 17th. The National Urban League is leading a coalition of civil rights groups, tribal nations, and local governments that are arguing that the Bureau is rushing to deliver the first set of results to President Trump as federal law requires by the end of this year. They contend that cutting counting short by a month goes against the constitutional mandate to count every person living in the U.S. Hansi Lo Wang, NPR News, New York.
To Kentucky now. Inside Churchill Downs, a horse named Authentic pulled out the win in this year's pandemic-delayed Kentucky Derby. Outside, protesters chanted the name of Breonna Taylor, a Louisville woman who was shot and killed by police in her home during a raid in March. Ryan Van Belzer, member station WFPL, reports.
The largest crowd at this year's Kentucky Derby was outside the racetrack. While Churchill Downs closed the stands to prevent the spread of COVID-19, hundreds of protesters gathered outside to call for justice for Breonna Taylor. Protesters lined a chain-link fence separating them from dozens of riot police, making noise to raise awareness about issues of racial injustice in Louisville and around the country. Kalila Collins has been protesting in Louisville for 101 days.
And I'm tired of this. I'm tired of having to protest. I'm tired of being scared of being shot in my home. I'm tired for my children, my friends, my brothers, my sisters. We're always a target, and I'm sick of it.
Protesters say they will continue until they see justice for Taylor. For NPR News, I'm Ryan Van Velzer.
In Portland, Oregon, last night, police declared a riot after Molotov cocktails were thrown in the street. In New York, State Attorney General Letitia James has moved to form a grand jury to investigate the death of Daniel Prude. The Lithuanian foreign minister warning that the European Union's credibility is on the line with a failure to act on the situation in Belarus. Terry Schultz reports Lithuania and its neighbors, Estonia and Latvia, have imposed their own sanctions on Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko.
Lithuanian Foreign Minister Linas Linkevičius tells the Financial Times newspaper the EU's own foundation may be shattered if it fails to uphold its own democratic values and counter the influence of Russia in Belarus. The EU has threatened sanctions on those who helped carry out the August 9th vote, the bloc says was neither free nor fair, and against those committing violence against opposition protesters. But no one has been penalized so far, and any eventual EU blacklist is unlikely to include Lukashenko himself.
This is NPR. British police are expected to offer more details shortly about a series of stabbings overnight in the central English city of Birmingham. A number of people are reported injured, but police have not yet said how many or how seriously. Police say the response will be ongoing for some time. A cause of the stabbings remains unclear. A powerful typhoon moving closer to the southern Japanese mainland, bringing fierce winds and rain and leaving homes without power. Authorities are warning of the potential for record rainfall. The typhoon is the second to hit Japan in a week. The typhoon has forced Japan's Coast Guard to suspend its search for crew members of a ship carrying cattle that capsized in the East China Sea. As the nation celebrates organized labor this weekend, a new study shows union membership pays off in higher wages. NPR's Scott Horsley reports that's especially true for African-American and Latino workers.
Only about one worker in 10 belongs to a union. The organized share of the workforce has been cut in half since the early 1980s. But a new study from the left-leaning Economic Policy Institute finds unionized workers typically earn 11% more than their non-union counterparts and enjoy better benefits as well. Heidi Shearholz, one of the authors of the study, says the union premium is even bigger for black and brown workers.
People think of unions often as being white men, and that was how unions started, but it's not at all what the population of union workers looks like today.
Union representation is slightly higher than average among black workers and slightly lower than average among Latinos. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR.